Blog Talk Radio.
Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? Life is a song worth singing.
Why don't you
sing it? You hold a key in the palm of your hand.
Use it.
Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life.
Welcome, 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 ladies and gentlemen, to another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, the slogan for this show, if it's power in numbers, then the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC captures that power for your financial benefit. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative LLC serves as an economic blueprint for self-reliance for solar and renewable energy companies, both large and small, along with increasing market share for African-American-owned solar installation, design, workforce development, and EV charging companies to address the effect of higher energy costs at our historically Black colleges and universities, to utilize African-American-owned farmlands and HBCU campuses to develop capacity and initiatives for solar installation projects to bring down the under and underemployment of young African-American men and women locally and nationally. Also to educate the African-American community locally and nationally about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education through Black Talk Radio programs such as Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. It's also brought to you every week by the Black Sports Legends Foundation, BSLF HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative. And you can get more information on that initiative by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. Please scroll at the top of the page. Under our title, scroll over from left to right to our GoFundMe link, and you can get more information on that initiative there on at positivechangepc.com. It's also brought to you every week by the National Association of Blacks in Solar, HBCU Solar Radio Talk Show Initiative, and as I indicated, the National Association of Blacks in Solar, and you can get more information on that organization by logging on to blacksinsolar.org. That's blacksinsolar.org. Ladies and gentlemen, we don't have any scheduled guests today, but you know if you join us on a regular basis, you know that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. As we normally open up, ladies and gentlemen, in speaking truth to power over this platform, once again, you know if you join us on a regular basis, our call-in number is 646-668-2948. We have some very, very exciting topics that we intend to share with you today, and we're basically going to lead off with a subject matter that we spoke on last week's show. E2, the face of clean energy is predominantly white and male. Now, you can get more information on this article by logging on to our website at positivechangepc.com. That's positivechangepc.com. You can click on our news and events tab, And when you do so, please scroll down to that particular article, and you will find it. This article was written by Emma Penrod. It was published on September the 14th in an outstanding online blog, which is referred to by, as Utility Dive Brief. And this article went on to read, people of color and women are vastly underrepresented in the clean energy jobs compared to the U.S. workforce at large, and many underrepresented groups lost ground in 2017 and 20, according to the report released last week by the BW Research Partnership E2 Coalition of Clean Energy Industry Groups. Now, there is a link there. You can click on that link, and it will provide you with a PDF. And it talks about help wanted, diversity in clean energy. And you'll be able to scroll down, and you'll be able to look at this particular report. The introduction, clean energy has a diversity problem. Despite its broad range of business, including construction, utilities, manufacturing, professional services, and a report and maintenance, the clean energy sector is dominated by white men. Given the incredible job growth of the energy sector over the last decade, the lack of diversity threatens to cause women. Given that the incredible job growth in the energy sector in the past decade is the lack in diversity, it threatens the cause of women, Hispanics and Latinos workers, and black workers, and a particular to miss out on one of America's greatest economic expansions. About 61% of the clean energy workers across America are white, non-Hispanics. Black and Hispanic Latinos workers are more poorly represented in the clean energy than across the rest of the economy. The black people composing 8% of the clean energy workforce compared with 13% economy-wise. Hispanics make up 16.5% according to the present versus 18% in the workforce industry-wide. With 13% of the economy, Hispanics and Latinos make up 16.5% of 18% in economy-wide. Women represent 30% of the workers in the sector, despite according to nearly 48% of the U.S. labor force as a whole. As the United States looks to build back better, clean, more equitable economy, the renewable focus on increasing diversity in the clean energy sector should be an economic imperative, both in transition to low carbon energy systems and the proposed state of federal stimulus to boost the economy have the potential to create millions of new jobs across the United States. Policies that support the energy sector and its low carbon transition should focus on the inclusion of women and underrepresented ethnic and racial groups, particularly black workers, who are often the most poorly represented in the sector. So the economic benefits of both equitability is shared. For the list of specific recommendations, please see page 24. Key findings. Now, you will be able to pull this information up, and you will be able to look at the findings. 4 in 1 racial and ethnic minority groups account for nearly 4 in 10 U.S. clean energy jobs. 8% workers are underrepresented by 40% presently, comparing just 8% to the U.S. clean energy workers. Now, this goes on and it cites in a number of boxes that. Now, the methodology of analysis was concluded by BW Research Partners by E2 and Alliance of Energy, the American Association of Blacks in Energy, Black Owners of Solar Services, and the Energy Efficiency for All. Now, this is somewhat a bogus report based on the fact that Black Owners of Solar Services is an offshoot from the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And it seems to be that in this specific report, white folks have come up with their own black organization, which they have individuals who don't look like me speaking to who we are and what we are in this industry. Very, very ironic, me serving as the president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, yours truly, Ronald Buffet, the same person who opens this mic up every week. We've reached out to various organizations and groups, and we don't have to talk it. We have put the work down. We have the research and the data to support our position, which we will go to and talk about specifically. This organization, Black Owners of Solar Services, has no more credibility in the marketplace than the National Association of Blacks in Solar. And I'm going on record to say that. Now, in terms of the racial categories, the demographics of racial groups, this report uses terminology used by the Bureau of Labor Statistics, the U.S. Census, which are required to collect data on five racial groups: white, black, African American. White, black, or African American. Well, it's not black or African American. It's African Americans, because black does not have a legal standing under the law. That's not my opinion. That is the law. American Indian or Alaskan Native, Asians and Native Americans, and other Pacific Islanders, because the data is based on self-identification of racial categories included in this report generally reflects the social definitions of race recognized in the country. They are not an attempt to define racial, biological, anthropology, are you genetically. In addition, the people may choose to report more than one race or indicate their racial mixture, such as American Indian, white people who identify their origins as Hispanics, Latinos, Spanish may be any race. For this reason, the analysis includes filters of combinations of several categories, age, and analysis. White alone. Hispanic and Latino refers to multiracial white, non-white respondents who identify Hispanics and Latinos as ethnicity. Indigenous combines Native and Indigenous racial category responses. Multicultural design designates all responses who choose two or more races, including white. People of color does not refer to black, Indigenous, Asians, and multicultural. Non-white distinguishes racial ethnicity in response by Hispanic and whites. When people define who and what you are, these are the issues that you run into as Africans living in America, okay? And I'll leave it at that. Job selections analysis are used in the energy sector, categorized in the annual user based on the categories that report and defines clean energy sector. Renewable energy generation jobs and solar energy, wind, combined heat and power, bioengineering, low impact, hydropower, and geothermal energy. These are all defined as the renewables in the renewable sector. This is a very, very detailed report. It's very clear to me that the National Association of Blacks in Solar has been written out of this report to bring no credibility to this report if, in fact, you're not going to include those organizations that are led by African Americans for themselves. And I will also put that on the record. In this report, ladies and gentlemen, you will find that this is a very, very detailed report. You have updated data. This information is composed into as many as I'm trying to reach the bottom of this report as it is scrolling down. We will be able to get to the bottom, as we said, the bottom of this very, very shortly, of 24 pages. This is a page report, which is very, very detailed and statistical data. And I will put that in conclusion of this report. Clean energy and clean transportation, key to building a stronger, more resilient, and more equitable economy in the wake of the COVID-19. As policymakers in Washington in the United States look to advance clean energy transportation, and the employment, businesses, and economic opportunities to come with them, they must do so to ensure that you see opportunities that are available to all Americans, regardless of ethnicity, gender, and addresses and inequity and clean energy and that currently exists. It's very, very interesting to me when in June, the National Association of Blacks in Solar put a request into the Department of Energy to get Jennifer Grant Holmes to come on a webinar to speak to our companies to address what is in the Biden infrastructure. Where's the Green Economic Development Plan in the implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Plan? What is the Justice 40 Initiative? It is what we would consider an unfunded mandate unless the Build Back Better $3.5 trillion infrastructure bill is passed on Capitol Hill. So everything that's been stated, everything that's been written, there's been a lot said, there's been a lot stated, but this bill has not passed. As I said, this is a very, very in-depth report, but it is clear to me that you don't leave an organization out of being referenced or spoken to because you don't like the people in the organization or the leadership of an organization. That is, to me, shows me the biasness of this particular report that's been put out by this, in this particular study. Now, as we go on and look at the breakdown, which we've already given you, underrepresented racial and ethnic groups hold just 4 in 10 clean jobs, according to the report. Black-owned workers were more poorly represented in the sector, comprising 8% of the clean energy of the U.S. workforce as a whole. People of color and women who represent the majority of young, students in the U.S. clean companies could face labor shortage in the future if they fail to recruit more diverse workers, according to Paula Glover, who serves as the CEO of the Alliance to Save Energy, who is the former president of the American Association of Blacks in Energy, ABE. If nothing is done and nobody, then your roadway is a lot longer, and someone who has been at it a long time, she said. Now, this is things that I brought up to ABE at their conference here in Washington, D.C. back in 2018 at the National Press Building, as ABE held a press conference and a policy summit, and Abigail Harper, who was one of the panelists on one of the forums they had on renewable energy, I brought up the issue why no young African-American students was in the room to hear this information. We are in a war on truth, and what comes out of people's mouths is important, and when they say it. Since that time, Mrs. Glover has been the go-to with this organization called Solar Services to speak truth to power as it relates to this issue. Well, I want to refresh everybody's memory that, as I indicated, we have been out in front on this issue for quite some time. Now, clean energy may be one of the fastest growing job sectors in the U.S., according to partners behind the new report on diversity in this sector. But even with growing emphasis on energy equity, growth in renewables hadn't translated to more jobs for underrepresented populations. Well, that's not by accident. And if you don't grow market share for African-American firms, this won't happen. We know that clean energy has become a huge part of the American economy, and it is going to get bigger, Keeper said. Nothing that clean energy now employs 3 million workers, more than the fossil fuel industry that pay typical better than the U.S. median income. But we also know this, the overwhelming majority of the people getting these jobs are white, and they are male. Hispanics and Latino workers held 16.5% of the clean energy jobs and 18% of the U.S. jobs nationally. Now, we don't even, as African Americans living in this country, based on racist policies, have the same job market share as Hispanics, which have overtaken blacks in this country over the last 20 years. And as we begin to drill down on this issue, which I have been beating the drum consistently on these issues, that as president of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, that I would not be, and our organization would not be, as we say, contact for input in this report. But we're going to shine the light on this today, ladies and gentlemen. Asians, Pacific Islands, and Native Americans actually held a greater percentage of clean energy jobs compared to the share of U.S. jobs, according to the report. 8% of Asians and 2.5% of Pacific Islanders, Native Americans. However, the proportions of clean energy workers who identify as Asians and Pacific Islands has declined since 2016, but women and Latinas also saw their share of clean energy jobs decline over the 4 years detailed in the report. Whites hold nearly 80% of more management and sales jobs within the clean energy sector. Now, that's very, very important when you begin to talking about the management and sales jobs where the big money is 80% white and white men, while Hispanics and Latinos represent a larger proportions of the installers and technicians in the industry. As a result, Latinos saw worse of the economic growth downturn and pause in construction work at the beginning of COVID-19 in 2020. Nearly a quarter of all clean energy workers laid off in April of 2020 were Hispanics and Latinos, according to the report. Women similarly have dwindled in the industry, with their participation for more 2% percentage points between 2017 and 2020. The report found black workers gained slightly larger share in clean energy question that based on who they are referencing this and who they went to get their reference to. One of the regulatory sides, Glover and Nicole Seiderman, an attorney with Sustainable Capital Advisors and a member of the Black Owners and Solars Advisory Committee, said during a press conference unveiling this report that there is a need for policy measures such as requiring at least 40% of investment in clean energy to go to businesses owned by underrepresented groups. Now, this is the politics, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to keep harping on this. There's also a need, they said, to increase the access to capital and remove unnecessary red tape and ensure these businesses are able to secure a resulting contracts. They also emphasize a need to make educational workforce development training more accessible in underrepresented communities. Well, that's in our platform, the National Association of Blacks in Solar, where we have beat the drum and bust the cover. Seiderman said she has heard complaints from clean energy leaders that their companies want to hire more diverse workers, simply can't find appropriate candidates for the jobs. Well, you should have contacted the National Association of Blacks in Solar. Yet there are dozens of organizations dedicated to diversity in the clean energy and related such recruiting. Yeah, groups are not NOGs, nonprofit organizations that will take the funding that should be coming to the National Association of Blacks in Solar. She said, pointing out to the National Society of Black Engineers, the American Association of Blacks in Energy, and other professionals and student organizations dedicated to promoting and representing groups in the energy job, in energy jobs. Nobody does a better job than the National Association of Blacks in Solar and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative. That is why yours truly was not contacted concerning this. And if you think that we're not going to speak truth to power, that's what we do here. As they say, that's what we do. There is really no excuse for not building a relationship that you need to build, Seiderman said. Glover also noted, because people of color represent the majority of rising generations in America, recruiting a more diverse workforce has no longer a question of optics, but like a matter of survival for business. This is what the future looks like, she said. Well, you know, Mrs. Glover, the credibility that you have and Mrs. Seiderman in this report begs the difference when you know who the National Association of Blacks in Solar, you know about us, you are aware of us, and I'm quite sure you are aware of the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC. It is always very interesting, ladies and gentlemen. That's why we're going to go back and we're going to drill down on some issues, but first we're going to take a slight pause for the cause before we drill down on this other segment of our show this morning. We're moving very, very quickly, so we're going to take a slight pause for the cause here on Solar Now and the Future. Will it be?
I got you.
Welcome, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And I'm your host, Ronald Bethay, and you know if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Once again, that call-in number is 646-668-2948, and you'll be able to join us. Now, it's very, very interesting, ladies and gentlemen, back on October 22nd, 2020, HBCU urged to move towards solar energy. And this was authored by Mark Gray on October 22 of 2020. It was in the Washington Afro News paper here in Washington, D.C. And you'll be able to look at this article. Ronald Bethay and his company, the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative, LLC, as well as other businesses are collaborating to help HBCUs move toward preparing students for the solar energy industry. A renewable energy and job creation between pieces of American economy and recovery, HBCUs and Black Americans could benefit through business and technology development opportunities. Three D.C.-based companies are collaborating to bridge the gap between the African-American community and the solar industry. Ronald Bethay, former Morgan State football player who lives in Washington, D.C., has established the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative and a national platform to educate African-American communities nationwide about the economic impacts of climate change and the need for environmental education in the Black areas. His company has teamed up with peer consultants at WDC Solar and Sundial Solar of Jackson, Mississippi, as the founding members of the North American Board, as a founding member of the National Association of Blacks in Solar. Through the organization's collaboration, Bethay hopes to help HBCs enter into a public-private partnership with solar companies and private investment firms to create more solar farms at African-American-owned farmlands and Black college campuses nationwide. It also wants to ensure minorities are in position to capitalize off the $2 trillion Green New Deal funding proposed by the Joe Biden presidency. HBCUs have the land to build these grids on their campuses and shift the paradigm in many ways, Bethay told the Afro. If you could be self-sufficient, taking care of your energy needs and profit from it, it's excess, that would be a game changer. Bethay also said that in addition to the academic and career opportunities for students, solar energy could be a significant revenue stream for HBCUs. Energy costs for most Black colleges are only exceeded by employee salaries. It is estimated that Howard University spends between $15 to $18 million annually on energy costs alone. However, Bethay says that this could offset the cost by investing in renewable fuels to service their needs and reselling that energy to local companies. The Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative at HBCU Solar Radio Initiative show Solar Now in the Future focuses on using the nation's 106 HBCUs to become members of the North American Board of Certified Electric Practitioner Representatives, who will be offering the certification training. They would provide web-based training in their local markets with those interested in pursuing opportunities and career opportunities in the solar industry. It also encourages participants between Black colleges and workforce development programs to collaborate with local companies in their regions to help develop apprenticeship training programs for people that are successfully completing the NACP continuing education programs for workforce development training. And according to Wood and McKinsey, Power and Renewable Energy, Solar Industry Trade Association, SEIA, U.S. residential solar markets experienced unprecedented growth in the third quarter of 2019. The increase in residential installations helped the U.S. solar market grow 45% and contribute to 15 states having their quarter even as residential solar businesses. NASAP feels that the opportunities for information for these new business prospects aren't really accessible to minority participation. People are waking up to face that climate change and the pandemic have forced innovation. We've been the most creative people on the planet forever. This is an important moment in our history, and we have to be prepared to take advantage of it. The collaborative is hoping to encourage HBCUs to work in conjunction with Small Business Development Centers, SBCDs, to help identify students majoring in business administration at HBCUs to assist local solar companies in writing proposals targeting the federal grants to develop training programs. He feels that this would reduce the amount of time and resources needed for smaller companies in their marketplace to compete for the application process for grant proposals. But they is using digital technology to spread the message through blog talk radio podcasts, Solar Now and the Future, with its economic impact on Black America. Ladies and gentlemen, this can be located under our archives here at positivechangepc.com for the month of October of 2020. Now, if we come from that particular article, we can then go back and you'll see that in June of this year, we put a request in to the Department of Energy for Jennifer Granholms to come on and address our African-American solar installation and design firms. In this particular request, we were simply reaching out and stating, where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African Americans in the implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Plan? And it's very, very interesting if you go and you look at what was promised under the Biden plan, and you look at an article that was written in the New York Times newspaper, and we're going to get right back to that here on this platform, Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. We're going to take a slight pause for the cause, and we'll be right back here on Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America.
Someone singing, I can tell. Sing it. Life is a song worth singing. Why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand. Use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan. Change it. Only you generate the power to decide what to do with your life. You're a fool if you think you're helpless. You control what you do with your life. Life is a song worth singing.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, back to the airways of Solar Now and the future with this economic impact on Black America. And you know, if you join us on a regular basis, that call-in number is 646-668-2948. Now, as I was sharing with you information that the National Association of Blacks in Solar, we reached out back in June of this year, and we put in a request to get the Secretary of Energy, Ms. Jennifer Granholms, to come on the airways and speak to our African-American-based firms. At that time, we had prepared a document which we entitled, that particular document, Where is the Green Economic Development Plan in Implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Plan? And the reason why we are staying on this is because everything that was cited in this 30-page report that I read to you, that they went to Mrs. Paula Glover, who's now the CEO of the Alliance to Save Energy, and Mrs. Stratterman, who is on the advisory board for Blacks of Solar Services, Black Owners of Solar Services, BOSS, which basically it is not the only organization that speaks, these other two organizations that speaks to the needs of African Americans in this sector. The National Association of Blacks in Solar and the Positive Change Purchasing Cooperative has been the vanguard and at the vanguard in speaking around these issues of lack of diversity in this renewable energy sector. And as I indicated to you, you can scroll down and you'll be able to find this information on our website. And once you get to that information, you will be able to see that we have backed up our statements with the data. Now, the webinar was entitled, Where is the Green Economic Development Plan for African American in the Implementation of the Biden Green Infrastructure Plan? Executive Order 13985, Advancing Racial Equity and Support for Underserved Communities Through the Federal Government. This is supposed to be speaking to the Justice 40 Initiative. We sent this out to the scheduling secretary at the Department of Energy. We provided the dates of June 21st, 22nd, 28th, 29th, which the Secretary of Energy could have chosen any one of those four dates for and gotten back to us, and we would have been more accommodating for August, even in September, but they never got back to us. The written statement and presenters, I'm going to give you a breakdown, of course, Ronald Buffet, President of the National Association of Blacks in Solar, introduction, overview, Mr. Will Shirley, Vice President of Sundial Solar and Vice President of the National Association, review of disparities in the solar industry, guidance on funding for NAS operation. Johnny Ford, who is with the World Conference of Mayors, which is going to be speaking to the need for funding the National Association in Blacks in Solar. Dr. Lilia Abrams, who is one of the charter members and founders of NAB. She was going to put forth five-year HBCU Green Sustainability Plan written by her firm, which is the leading African-American environmental engineering firm in the United States of America and worldwide. Mark Davis, the founder of WDC Solar, was going to speak about the DC Solar for All program expansion and for solar training jobs via HBCUs. These are the presenters: Efren Jernigan, Sunnyside Solar Project, barriers and many roadblocks. Tracy Woods, who is the Vice President of Operations for the American Association of Blacks and Solar. He's going to be introducing Mrs. Jennifer Grant Holmes. Then Department of Energy, Jennifer Grant Holmes would have had 20 minutes in her presentation, and we left another 15 minutes for questions and answers from our members of our organizations and the audience. Ladies, this would have been presented over the internet via a virtual webinar, so people from all over the African-American diaspora and here in the U.S. could have been able to log in to this, because we put this information out there. So it's not like I'm just spilling some and jumping up and down and talking about we're upset because nobody came to us. What we're saying is what we're bringing to the table needed to be addressed when we began to look at what was promised in the Biden infrastructure plan. Goals. All right, let's look at what was promised. When you begin to look at the breakdown under transportation, the modernization of 20,000 miles of U.S. highways, roads, repairs, 10,000 bridges by 2030, a network of 5,000 electric vehicle infrastructure charges. The goal is to revitalize an aging, crumbling corridors that American people and products from place to take Americans to place while reducing of the sector's reliance on fossil fuels and to drive climate change. Estimated cost in billions. Electric vehicles initiatives, $174 billion. Roads and bridges, $115 billion for public transit. Electric vehicle initiatives and roads and bridges was $174 billion. $85 billion for passenger and freight railways, $80 billion for disaster relief, $50 billion for others, $35 billion for airports, $25 billion for improvement road safety, $20 billion for underserved communities, and $20 billion for road waterways and ports, $17 billion. When you begin to break this down and you look at the other aspects of this, one of the largest investments would have included more than $200 billion in tax credits, grants to improve buildings for affordability. The goal was to make homes and commercial buildings more energy efficient, to reduce lead hazards and old water pipes, bridges and urban rural digital divide, modernization of electric grid and greater reliability and wide deployment of low carbon electricity. Estimate the cost in billions, affordable housing, $213 billion, high-speed broadband, $100 billion, electric grid and clean energy, $100 billion, public schools, $100 billion, water system, $66 billion, eliminate lead pipes, $45 billion, child care facilities, $25 billion, veteran hospitals, $18 billion, community colleges, $12 billion. Federal buildings, $12 billion. Now, that comes under the first category of transportation. Jobs and innovations. The plan goes beyond physical infrastructure, proposing more than $500 billion investment in the manufacturing sector, work training and research development. Target goals, the president has said that he wants the position of America to compete with China and other rivals in the race to build a dominant industries and future like semiconductors and advanced batteries. Ford Motor Company has had to curl back its manufacturing number of days on the assembly lines because they don't have the semiconductors which are being built in the U.S. See, we're behind the eight ball, ladies and gentlemen, and they can talk all the propaganda they want to. China has us by the short hairs. Now, this is estimated in cost in billions. Domestic manufacturer, $52 billion. National Science Foundation, $50 billion. Supply chain support, $50 billion. Semiconductors, conductor industry, $50 billion. Workforce development, $48 billion. Clean energy manufacturing, $46 billion. Research infrastructure, $40 billion. New dislocated workers program, $40 billion. Technology, $35 billion. Small business support, $31 billion. Research and development, $30 billion. Research and development at HBCUs, $25 billion. Community investment, $20 billion. Innovative and competitiveness, $14 billion. Underserved communities, $12 billion. New rural partnership programs, $5 billion. Home care plan also includes $400 billion to expand access to caregiving for older and people with disabilities to improve the pay and benefits for caregivers. The goal of broadening the traditional definition of infrastructure includes provisions for home care and economic standpoint. Administrative officials say it is much about the workers providing the care as it is about the patients. The money should help those workers, disproportionately women of color, low pay, earn more. This is what was promised, ladies and gentlemen. Now, we have gone through our show today. We are going to have to shut down on time because we have a 11 p.m. webinar that we're going to be participating in. But until we do that, we're going to take and look at our other topics that we had outlined for the show. But we wanted to drill down on that information to let you know the work that we have put in. Reverend Al Sharpton's interview with Michael Regan's first black to head EPA. And we're going to jump directly into that, and you're going to hear from the first African-American who happens to be a North Carolina A&T Aggie. So there is a link there. You can click on that blue link, and it will go directly into the YouTube video, and you'll be listening very shortly to Mr. Regan. We have to get through this infomercial here on MSNBC. You know how that plays out, ladies and gentlemen. So as soon as we get past that, you're going to be able to have a few minutes to hear.
Joining me now for his first MSNBC primetime interview is Administrator of the Environmental.
He's also the first EPA administrator to have graduated from a historically black college and university. Administrator Regan, I know I speak for our audience when I tell you how much we appreciate having you here tonight. But at this moment, because of this week, the EPA released its 2021 report on climate change and social vulnerability in the United States, specifically focusing on, quote, the disproportionate and unequal risks that climate change is projected to have on communities that are least able to anticipate, cope with, and recover from adverse impacts, end of quote. Among those impacts, black Americans are 40% more likely than non-blacks to live in areas with the highest projected increases in mortality rates due to climate-driven changes in extreme temperatures. We're also 34% more likely to live in areas with the highest projected increases in childhood asthma due to air pollution caused by change. But it's not just us and not just about immediate death or disease The study adds Hispanic Americans are 43% likely than non-Hispanics to live in areas with the highest projected labor losses due to extreme weather. Of course, there are more disturbing metrics in this report, but can you tell us more broadly what these numbers mean, Mr. Regan?
For having me today. And, you know, EPA released the most advanced environmental justice study to date. All of the facts and figures that you laid out are stark facts and figures that we must grapple with today. When you zoom out and take a look at this information, really it puts the data right in front of every American, information that we've known for quite some time, that minorities and low-income communities have borne a disproportionate impact to pollution for generations, and now we add climate change on top of that. This is a stark reminder that minority communities, low-income communities, and communities all across this country are now of climate change, and we expect that intensity to. And that's why the president has really pointed out that a laser focus on climate change, a laser focus on environmental justice and equity are imperative if we are to provide health protections and environmental protections for all people, but also if we're to remain globally competitive as a country. These issues are here in front of us now. And as you heard the president ask earlier this week, not just to listen to the economists, the national security advisors, and the scientists, but people should believe what they're seeing and what they're experiencing. Climate change impacts are real. The data proves it. The science proves it. And now we're all living with current impacts.
In addition, you mentioned President Biden. In addition to yesterday's commemoration at Ground Zero, the president was also here in there in New York. I'm in Houston, Texas tonight, but he was in New York this week to damage to tour the damage left by the tropical storm Ida, tying that damage to climate change and promoting his ambitious infrastructure plan. Now, we've all seen the all summer where the public needs have been really crippled by extreme weather. Is the president's plan, as it currently stands, truly up to the task of modernizing flooded subways here around the country and in the East Coast, or streets and power lines that have literally melted due to extreme heat? Or are we seeing these things out west? I mean, can we see from these plans some real relief?
Reverend Al, absolutely. When you look at the president's Build Back Better agenda, it is very aggressive and very ambitious. And when we look at the bipartisan infrastructure deal, which is one component of the Build Back Better agenda, we're looking at historic investments in infrastructure. One example is $55 billion invested in our water infrastructure. A significant amount of that solely focused on eradicating lead pipes in this country, which we know disproportionately impacts communities of color and low-income communities. We're looking at billions of dollars of investment in infrastructure that would help curtail floodwaters and help bolster the security of our water infrastructure, wastewater, sewer water, and the like. We also are looking at historic investments and cleaning up legacy pollution at our Superfund sites and our brownfield sites, all which are threatened by the impacts of climate change. We're also looking at strong investments in mitigating climate pollution around transportation, methane, power plants. And so the president's Build Back Better agenda is a shot in the arm when we look at protecting our infrastructure from the impacts of climate change, but also mitigating the pollution that we're seeing that exacerbate climate change impacts.
Yeah, the interesting term you said, legacy pollution. But let's pivot to the Ida response of where it first landed. In Louisiana, right now, the New Orleans...
Ladies and gentlemen, we are concluding our show now because you can go to our website and you'll be able to hear the interview in its entirety, but we must close now here with this segment of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. And as we said, this show speaks truth to power. We don't talk it, we walk it. So until next week, we will say, don't you want us to meet us here, but to beat us back here as we close another exciting edition of Solar Now and the Future with its economic impact on Black America. Until next week, we...
Someone singing, I can tell, sing it. Life is a song worth singing, why don't you sing it? You hold the key in the palm of your hand, use it. Don't blame your life on a master plan.